Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Christian, Adam Copeland and Okada were shown turning up to Dynamite at the start of the show, but nobody will beat Okada because he turned up in a damn Ferrari. So I'm sorry. If we are talking about the best 180 gimmick change from nowhere in 2024, he is the front runner. Timeless Tony Storm won it in 2023, and unless somebody's going to do something crazy, I'm giving it to the Rainmaker. Also, hello, my friends, and welcome to Ups and Downs, the review show that just says, ha-ha, that's great, oh, that sucks balls. Shouldn't have said that, I massively regret it. Although, given the words that came out of my mouth, it does kind of tie into the main event. What am I talking about? You're going to find out. Let's up those downs. We then cut straight to Tony Schiavone, who was in the ring, because we were going to have a repeat of last week. Here came Mercedes Moné. Now, I can't help but laugh, because some people are so damn mad about her entrance music. And yes, the CEO chants are incorporated into the tune, but that is to encourage fans to shout out CEO. It's not rocket science, my friends. It is not 2 + 2 = potato. Also, if you are getting this irate, I kind of feel like you need a real problem. Mercedes also doubled down on the fact that she is so happy to be back because that injury she did suffer a couple of years ago almost took her out of the game completely. She then rolled a video to prove all of this and all the things she has done since she left WWE, which goes to show how she has spent her last 7 days videoing it. She also had a good line where she said that minor setbacks make for major comebacks and that she's here to launch a global revolution. What's that, man? Sounds like a lot of work. She also told Sky Blue and Julia Hart that they messed with her unfinished business. And when you do that to Mercedes Moné, you end up bankrupt. That doesn't actually make any sense. But sometimes things just sound cool. Exhibit A. Now, I think that Moné has been gone so long, she forgot about wrestling rule 4.1. Because she had said these guys' name around about 72 times. So the lights went out. And here they came. Blue tried to jump Moné from behind as well, which meant Julia was able to come from the other direction. And for a little while, they were kicking her ass. Until, of course, people came to make the save. Because given that on Rampage, Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander were going to be taking off these two, they did run down when the lights went out and Julia Hart and Sky Blue vanished. Damn it, they have magical powers. The thing is, though, when they came back on, Willow Nightingale was just there with a chair, and maybe, just maybe, she was considering hitting Mercedes right in the back. Now, she didn't do this, but man, I was howling. Imagine that. The lights go out, you do have a weapon, and in that moment you decide, maybe I'm going to knock her brains in. It does make sense, though, because, of course, we have to do that match in order to kind of sew up loose ends, although we should not turn Willow heel. Maybe there was some teasing here. Don't think that would be the best idea. The match, though, that will rule. I do like that we're putting Mercedes Moné in the TBS title picture, though, or at least heading in that direction, because it makes it feel even more important, and that's what you want to do with all of your championships. So yeah, I just thought this was a good opening segment. Right now, Mercedes does seem to be getting some attraction towards AEW. This is a good thing. Up. When we got the best new combo in professional wrestling. Because Alex Marvez was with the Elite, and I'm just going to tell you straight up, I need all of these four guys doing something every single week. Because Matthew and Nicholas Jackson were now pleased that Alex is calling Okada by his full name, but by next week, they expect him to do it in Japanese. Matt then talked about how great and handsome Okada is, which made me laugh because it was so over the top. And given that he is going to be facing Eddie Kingston in a Continental Championship match, they are barred from ringside. But as EVPs, they will be by the production chuck, making sure they show all the best replays. This gimmick rules. Akada then cut a promo in Japanese before switching to English, telling Eddie he's going to come for him, he's going to whoop his ass. But he was also a little bit annoyed at Alex Marvez, because yeah, you should know this in Japanese. Nicholas Jackson put the icing on the cake as well, because when all these guys did leave, he kind of went, yeah, learn Japanese, like he was totally unhinged. Honestly, they make me laugh out loud, because you know in the ring they're next level performers, but behind the scenes, they're just wonderful goofs. I'm giving it an up. This is my favourite part of wrestling, and I don't even care if you don't agree. We went right into that too, because it was Okada taking on Kingston for that Continental title, whatever the flub we're calling it. We weren't mucking around. Now, I do love Eddie more than you'll ever realise, but this was just good booking, because Okada has come from New Japan, where he was mostly a champion. He had a championship match in 2 weeks, and he won the damn thing. Also, it just works for Edward Kingston. That dude has so much sympathy. And now he's just gone and got even more. Kingston did smash Okada early too, to the point they fell to the outside, which is when the Rainmaker basically baited him back in the ring. He hit a DDT. The Bucks were then shown backstage with Tony Khan, as they weren't telling people what to do for the television. When they went back to the ring, and Okada was basically going, ha ha ha. Eddie Kingston, I tell you, this guy. Now, understandably annoyed Kingston, so he came back with a bunch of suplexes when Okada hit that wonderful dropkick from nowhere, and he hit an air raid crash, got a 1-2, ooh. Eddie then got the back fist, which was also another near fall, and don't forget he has won matches with that, when they basically smacked each other hard, that they both went down, so they were kind of on each other's level, but you could just tell what was going to happen. It really did power up Edward, though, because he pulled his singlet straps down. I think Okada must have seen this and gone, man, I don't want none of that. What did he do? He went up to him and boop, he poked him in the eye. What an asshat. Now, Kingston was still able to hit an enziguri, but when he tried to go for the back fist, I guess he was a little bit blind. So Okada scored with the landslide. He hit him with the Rainmaker. He just pinned him, and he didn't even care. He was super duper pleased. Matthew Nicholas backstage then told Tony Khan to hit all the pyrotechnics, which we did too, when this somehow got better, because instantly Pac walked out, and he looked at Okada. And as we know in professional wrestling, when you do that, things are super duper serious. It also means our pay-per-view match is going to be a Okada versus Pac, which actually does make sense, because on Collision, Pac was all like, oh man, I'm going to make some noise, unless I get a decent opponent. Well, here's your noise. So this was absolutely huge for me. It was like taking Christmas, Hanukkah, and my birthday and wrapping it into wrong. I am giving it an up. In a true nerd turn, though, I am going to slip a down in there, because at first I thought, oh, amazing, Okada has become the Triple Crown champion. But no, we've actually split that thing up. So I think now Eddie Kingston has two of those belts, and the Rainmaker has the other one. Ha. I have no problem with that, really, but it just feels way too soon to do that. And also, AEW just has too many belts. Like, they just do. It's not a bad thing. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Just from my wrestling perspective, this is what I believe. Sometimes less is more. So yeah, it's getting it down. But am I going to think about this ever again? Well, maybe next week. But it's certainly not going to ruin my life. Marie Paquette was then backstage with Swerve Strickland. This guy really hates Samoa Joe. He is totally done with Joe trying to embarrass him, to the point he's got that chain and he wants to strangle Samoa. And from nowhere, he was like, I've been so inspired by Mike Tyson's return to training. I too am offering up an open challenge. Like, man, I don't think anyone expected him to say that. Swerve is just a guy right now, though, because he is the right place and the right time. So I hope we do pull the trigger at AEW Dynasty. I mean, anything he's touching right now turns to gold. Freddie was then embracing her paycheck too, because we were back with her. She was talking to Willow, Chris, and Stokely Hathaway. Now Nightingale was all hyped up, because when they do compete in the street fight later, she will have had more street fights in AEW than any other woman. When Statlander was like, oh yeah, I meant what I said, Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Tonight, we're gonna end you. This is when Mercedes walked in, and at first she was like, yeah, thank you very much for helping me earlier. But when she was kind of going to shake Willow's hand, she was like, you know what? I've had enough of you, because of course, once again, her last match when she would got injured was against Nightingale. And then earlier, she was gonna hit her with a chair. Maybe. We also threw in the broken ankle talk here as well, so once again, I presume we do this a pay-per-view and Mercedes get her win back. Once again, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes the reason is obvious is because it's obvious. When we did the right thing. There you go. But it was Hook versus Chris Jericho, and I started to scratch my bald head, because I was like, well, there's no way Hook should lose, because he's on a tear right now. But on the other hand, this one over here, Chris Jericho, he has been defeated a lot recently, so why are we going to do it? By Jove, we did. Hook also must have moved to Berlin for this match, because he just hit so many German suplexes, and Jericho kept landing on his head, to the point the ref had to go up to Chris and say, Listen, man, do you really want to continue here? You're getting your ass whipped. I mean, even when Jericho went for 1980s classics like the double axe handle, it just went no, and he gave him another suplex. And for a good old while, you could even call this a squash match. And of course, look, at certain times, Jericho did have a light at the end of the tunnel, like when he hit the lion salt, and he got a few shots in there. But then they climbed to the top of Tina the Turnbuckle. Hook was like, dear, whatever you plan to do, you are not going to be allowed to, because he applied the red rum. Jericho was in trouble again. This is what really summed it up too, because despite being in Canada, when Jericho turned that into the Walls of Jericho, the fans all started to boo, but Hook must have felt this in his tum-tum, and he reversed it into the most devastating move in all of Sports Entertainment's surprise roll-up, and hot damn, he got the 1-2-3. And made noises. There was more to this as well, because Taz on commentary told us, oh, wait a minute, I think that's the first time Hook has ever got a pinfall win in All Elite Wrestling. All the rest have been by submission. Now, Chris did fist bump him after this, and later on in a promo said, I have one last thing for you next week, so we're going to have to see what happens there. But do not do the rematch unless Hook is going to win. Because once again, ever since he did have that match with Samoa Joe, he has just been building and building and building. He doesn't need to suffer an L right now. But I was so into this, and seeing the wonderful haired warrior come of age, well, it makes me proud. It's not true, it's just a weird thing that I have said. I'm giving it an up. We then cut to Adam Cole, who was sat in a chair. I guess he was at home or something. He is not happy with Wardlow. And this is because he had one job which he didn't do, which was defeating Samoa Joe for the World Championship. And of course, Adam Cole made an accident on purpose verbal typo here, because he said, I should be World Champion. I didn't mean I meant you, I gotta go. Ward's new role in the Undisputed Kingdom now, though, is to protect all the other titles, which means that we cannot lose the ROH belts. Roddy can't lose the international title one either. Now, as ever, Adam's delivery was excellent here, and this actually isn't his fault, because he doesn't write the stories, but this felt so similar to everything we did with MJF and Wardlow. A little bit confused by it. I felt like I'd gone back in time, back to the future four. And it's certainly not bad by any stretch of the imagination, and I do actually feel quite sorry for AEW, because this story has been completely train wrecked because of injuries. But yeah, once I had thought about that, I couldn't unthink it. Gotta give it a down. I want to point out that's a shame, by the way, but you can just tell we're trying to retcon this thing as best as we can. So once again, it just comes down to things we did not expect. What are you gonna do?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We kept the talking going on this episode of Dynamite as well, because here came Will Ospreay. Bruv, I don't know what happened to William, but he's so over like crazy. And anybody who was going, oh, he's going to have to learn the American promo style, which was fair. Well, I think he mastered it in about 2 weeks. Like, he is just so unashamedly himself that it comes out of the screen and you feel it. We also kept him super babyface because he was all like, look, last time I was in Canada with AEW, I did some bad things, which I apologize for. But let's make up over some maple syrup. He knew what he'd do. Ospreay then talked about how great that Bryan Danielson versus Shibata match was, when he was like, hey, Bryan, do you remember when you went to Japan, you did all those great things? Well, they weren't as good as me. I totally smashed that place. and he made a joke about shoes. You should just go and watch it. The whole point, though, is that the aerial assassin did one-up Bryan Danielson when it came to Japan, so now he wants to fight Shibata next week so he can one-up him then, so that when we get to AEW Dynasty, he can also whoop Danielson's ass to prove that Will Ospreay is the guy. So our story now is not only I think I'm the best, but you think you're the best. It's also whatever you can do, I can do better. I mean, I'm sure next week they'll come out and be like, you know what? I have better parents. I really cannot wait for this match, though. And we're also getting Shibata versus Ospreay. And we'll even mention the fact they had faced each other in New Japan 7 years ago. And Shibata beat the piss out of him. That's what he said. I really do think it's going to be a match that we are talking about for a long time, though. Because I don't think Brian or William will let it be anything else. And this was just a super duper babyface promo. He should probably be the world champion. Come all in. It's going to be a moment in time. It is getting it up. We then got reminded that our main event was going to be Christian Cage versus Adam Copeland in an I Quit match for the TNT title. When we went back to everything with the women's championship, because it was Mariah May and Toni Storm taking on Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa. Thunder and Deonna went crazy at the start of this too, before Purrazzo started roughing up Mariah May, when Thunder jumped off her partner's back and crushed some people in the corner. It's like the Hardy Boys. Luther then tried to interfere, which actually worked very well, because the Timeless One then started to work over Thunder, when all of a sudden she was like, oh, my hand, it's so warm, what am I going to do? And she hit a crossbody, and she got the hot tag. Now, she absolutely killed Mariah May with this boot. I was actually running wild, when all of a sudden Thunder saw her shoulder, was like, you know what, I'm going to hit you, and that counts as a tag. You may even call it a blind one. Now, she was able to take out Mariah with a DVD when Toni Storm took over and whammed her with Sweet Cheek Music. But when she went for Storm Zero, Thunder Rosa turned it into the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, and she got the 1-2-3. She just pinned the flubbing AEW Women's Champ. Toni Storm was totally stunned by this as well, as you would expect, and Deonna was looking at her like, I can't believe you did that. But once again, I see what we're doing here. We probably will do Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm at the pay-per-view, with Thunder going, by the way, I never lost my title properly. And yes, I will say that doing two surprise rolls up on the same show does stand up like a sword. Thumb, but actually within context here, they did work. And I just like the fact that all these people are involved in the world title picture, and you have all these other people involved in the TBS title picture. The women's division is cooking right now. Give it a nap. When Swerve did do his open challenge, I was so damn happy, because this got answered by the Butcher. Now look, sadly for that guy, we haven't seen him in a while properly. I think he must have been too preoccupied with his shop, because there was a bit of man meat slapping in here, but otherwise, good grief, Strickland whooped him. I mean, at one point, the Butcher even hit that lariat, and Swerve just landed on his feet and said, no, I don't want anything to do with that. When he booted the Butcher right in the head, he hit the house call, he hit the Swerve swamp, and he went straight into like an arm bar and arm scissors. Butcher was like, well, I need that to cut my meat. And he tapped out. So I suppose the idea is that the Butcher is kind of Samoa Joe-esque in the way that he does work, and Swerve just went through him, so if he does fight Joe, maybe he's going to do the same thing. We also got more from commentary in reverse, because they were like, oh, wait a minute, we think this is Swerve's ever first tap-out win in AEW. So we are just adding in the information. Strickland then got on a mic afterwards and basically said he hates Samoa Joe, and the only thing that makes him sad is he does have this chain, and he wants to strangle Joe, but his damn neck is too big. So I do think we have to bring down the crime counter, because he did say he was a little bit sad about not being able to strangle someone. I think Samoa Joe felt the same, because he marched to the ring and he had a face like Thunder, not Rosa. Now, he wanted to use logic to respond, because he was like, why should I give you anything? I defeated you at AEW Revolution. You should be going to the back of the line. The problem with Swerve, though, is that he thinks the impossible is possible, and when people start to do that, then the fans start to believe it, even though deep down in the real world, this is a pile of crap. So all that happens is that Samoa Joe does arrive and smashes you in the face. I was like, this guy is so damn good. So you know what? If he has to take out Swerve Strickland, that's what he's gonna do. We then got a right twist because Don Callis walked out, and I was like, why are you here? And he got so many boos, I started to laugh. But he was like, listen, I want to use logic too, and outside of the Don Callis family, do you know how many times DeKestra has lost recently? It's a whopping zero. Therefore, maybe Strickland needs to think about losing to this guy before he even considers Samoa Joe. I'm pretty sure Swerve was like, man, I'm going to burn your entire family down, because he is crazy. But as he is in open challenge mode, he said, fine, I will take on DeKestra next week. I was like, that's it. This run of Dynamite is absolutely preposterous. So this just got me so damn pumped, and Swerve is that guy, like he really is. When we get to AEW Dynasty, it should be him versus Joe, and he should become the world champion. Any other scenario does not make sense. Look at the t-shirt, it's getting an up. I enjoyed this a lot. Which was true of the main event too, because my word, this thing was totally rare. I mean, the crowd were chanting holy shit instantly as Christian Cage and Adam Copeland did get in the ring for their TNT title I Quit match. And honestly, as soon as the bell went ding, 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 they went absolutely nuts. I mean, they were in the crowd within seconds, which is when Copeland got a Pittsburgh Penguins jersey and put it over Christian when he went and got a Maple Leafs one. So you could see what he was doing here. And because they were wearing hockey shirts, what did they do? They had a big old hockey fight and the audience went totally mad. This was great. This carried on throughout the whole building too. When Christian is such a wonderful asshole, he went to hide in the women's bathroom. When they got back to the ring, what did Adam Copeland produce? That's right, it was ladders. Of course it was. Adam then slammed Christian's back into that thing and it looked horrible, but Cage wouldn't say I quit. And actually, he leveled up. He'd been watching the rest of the show. He poked Adam in the eye and he threw him into the ring post. Damn it, Copeland was busted open. Everybody then started going through tables, including this crazy bump when Christian went to the top rope and cross-bodied Adam through one, which was led up against Barry Barricade, when they basically speared each other at the same time. That looked really nasty. Copeland then thought he'd kill his former fake brother when he just threw him off the stage when he ran down one of the entrance tunnels. I was like, what the flub is he doing? And he came back with a hockey goal. And not only did he throw Cage into that thing, but he threw him into the net. So I guess he scores a point. I don't know. It was all going Copeland's way as well until Shayna Wayne turned up. And she had a hockey stick to continue on this theme. She just went wah-boo and she smashed Adam right in the penis. This is something I love about professional wrestling. If you did this in real life, the reaction would be so over the top. But in sports entertainment, you go, oh, you take a slow fall. It really makes me laugh. Christian was inspired by this too, because he got the damn stick and he smashed it over Adam's back. When he essentially, like, planted it in Adam Copeland's jaw area, so he was throttling him and saying, well, you better say I quit, but he wouldn't. We then introduced a barbed wire chair, because of course we did, but before we did use that, Adam Copeland locked in the crossface. But this is when it turned out the patriarchy did have a plan. Here came Luchasaurus, and here came Nick Wayne. It's like, why have you waited 10 minutes? You could have got involved ages ago. Thankfully, Adam had thought about this, though, and he had a counter, so out came Danny Garcia and Matt Menard. This is when Copeland grabbed Luchasaurus, and he gave him a DDT onto the barbed wire chair. I was like, well, that's how the dinosaurs died out. Should've known. Adam Copeland then climbed up a damn ladder and did a crossbody onto the patriarchy on the outside, which was absolutely crazy, when they got handcuffed to the ropes. When I think they were going to attack Shayna, she was like, you know what, I'm done. Like a proper coward, she ran away. We then experienced the worst moment of all of our lives, because after Adam had just booted Christian in the balls over and over again, he introduced his friend Spike, which of course is a 2x4 with spikes on it, and he got it, and he just went boom. And he hit Christian right in the dick. I felt this. And man, it had so much force. Don't know why I'm laughing. It was horrific. So it's no more kids for him, and his crotch was totally ruined. And when Copeland was like, fine, you're not going to quit. I'll smash you in the head instead. Given that Cage was handcuffed to T of the turnbuckle, he thought better of it. He did say, I quit. I thought this suited the character perfectly. Deep down, he's just a bit of a wimp. Adam then flipped him off one last time before he did raise the TNT Championship above his head, because he had won that thing as all the pyrotechnics came down. And Daniel Garcia was here too, going, aah. I actually think Adam should lose it to him. And the cycle continues. This was absolutely brilliant, though. It was such a good main event because it was so damn fun. And all the praise to Christian Cage and Adam Copeland. They defy the aging process. Getting up. Which brought us to the end of Dynamite, and honestly, if you back end this with the one we did last week too, I think AEW is on a right roll right now. I felt good about life when this ended, which is the point of my entertainment program. Up. Now please do click the video on the screen, which is ups and downs from Monday Night Raw, so you can experience all my lame opinions about professional wrestling. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. But more importantly, give me a comment, and have a wonderful day, my friends. I'll see you soon.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.